So today we'll be discussing the topics of giants, both literal and figurative. When looking at scripture, the first introduction of giants we find is in the book of Genesis, and that's in chapter 6, verse 4, taken from the King James Version of the Daily Bible Readings way long ago. So there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So we read the same account in the ESV, but another word that's used to describe these giants would be the Nephilim. That word giant or Nephilim, translated in the Strong's Concordance, is Nephil, which means a bully or a tyrant. The word giants at the time was synonymous with a great big brute. So someone completely consumed with themselves, a mighty individual who relied solely on their own prowess and who had no need for God. So this was during the time of Noah, and we continue in Genesis chapter 6 at verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So this was the mindset of the world that Noah had contended with. Yet, he still remained faithful. We read that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. The world was full of violence and corruption, and there was no group of like-minded individuals like himself whom Noah could really rely on or find encourage during those turbulent times. Nonetheless, Noah placed his trust in Yahweh, who provided for him and his family to withstand the giants during his time, and the wrath of God that was to come. In the end, we know that Noah and his family would be saved by the flood through the ark. Yet, we know that contention with giants does not end only there in Scripture. So even after the flood, as aforementioned in Genesis 6, verse 4, we read that there were giants in Nephilim in the earth in those days, and also after that. So that same word Nephilim occurs again to describe actual giants that are, sorry, here we go. So that same word Nephilim occurs to describe actual giants from the bad report during Israel's time in the wilderness, when God had Moses send out Joshua, the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, and Caleb from the tribe of Judah, and 10 other chiefs of the land of Israel to spy on the land of Canaan. And we're going to jump now to Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 32. The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. When it comes to a confrontation of one against a person of great stature or a giant, the most epitomized example would be David and Goliath, the champion of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span, or around 9 feet tall, provided by the margin measurements of a cubit being 18 inches. His coat alone weighed around 121 pounds. And despite his great stature, Goliath himself is not stated to be a giant explicitly, but is known to be related to one of the giants of Gath in the annals of Chronicles to provide further evidence of his association as a giant. And we find this in Chronicles, and you don't have to turn there. But this, if you're taking notes at all, this is in 1 Chronicles 20, verses 4 through 8. The Sebekai, the Hushite, struck down Sippai, who was one of the descendants of the giants, and the Philistines were subdued. And there was again war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, struck down Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was again war at Gath. And there was a man of great stature, who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was descended from the giants. And when he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, struck him down. And there were descended from the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So this text provides us an image of a man of great proportion. A man who was fully confident in his own ability and not afraid to goad people into a death match with him. Upon meeting David, we read that Goliath, the Philistine, cursed David by his gods. Against such a foe, most would refrain from any form of confrontation, knowing what to do. And we see this as the whole army of Israel is left incapable of acting. Here's Goliath. Come on down. I'll take you on. I'll take you. I'll take you. You look pretty tough. Come at me. But what do the children of Israel do? They're like, just timidly standing back, unsure of what to do with this giant, this great stature of a man. He's pretty intimidating. But what happens? Yet David, when speaking to Saul, David, a young, ruddy boy, before he sets out for battle, while recounting the many perilous encounters he had as a shepherd, states, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." And God delivered Goliath and the Philistines to the hand of David and the children of Israel. David proved to be a wonderful example of the children of Israel by placing his faith in Yahweh when faced against this, and would later become a king of renown. Although this account is extraordinary, there are some aspects of it which are commonplace. There are many times when our faith will be tried in question, sometimes by ourselves, and even mocked by others to deter us from our faith and from our walk with God. There are multitudes of deterrents we face each and every day which challenge our steadfastness. In Scripture, we read of these many extraordinary encounters of individuals of faith who encounter and challenge these giants. Yet we also are granted many encounters of faithful people who face situations on enormous proportions. When faced with the choice of avoiding the fiery furnace by worshiping an idol, or defy that order and continue to worship God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stated their case in Daniel 3. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." All the prophets who were faced with the task of changing the ways of a wicked nation who would be persecuted, abused, physically and emotionally, constantly challenged by ungrateful people. Stephen, who full of faith was facing the Sanhedrin, did not withhold his words and was stoned. Paul, who was shipwrecked, beaten, and left for dead during his preaching efforts. When looking at examples of people who face such mountainous trials, we look to our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who we remember through the emblems, who faced and conquered the giants of all giants, sin. In doing so, through his faith in God and his sacrifice for a remission of our sins, has provided us a hope to conquer the greatest giant of all, and has provided us an opportunity for the greatest glory to come, that wonderful kingdom. We read in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, regarding those of faith. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So brothers, sisters, young people, my Austin Leander family, let us rejoice that we have been granted such an opportunity to one day be joined with all those individuals of faith who aided in setting an example for us to overcome such obstacles through their faith in Yahweh. Life can challenge you in ways that sometimes feel insurmountable, but I'm reaching out to you, each and every one of you. Everyone, my seasoned warriors, baptized, non-baptized, everybody here. We are all here today, and we can overcome this together. We can overcome the giants in our lives. Place your faith in God. Lean not on your own understanding. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand evil in that day and stand fast during those circumstances. Trust in Yahweh. You are not alone. We are not alone. And we never will be.